And we thank you so much. Well, we're going to turn in our Bibles to, guess where? Matthew chapter 5. Exactly. Man, this is a sharp bunch today. But Matthew chapter 5, as we continue along in our study on the Beatitudes, in a series that I've simply called Be Blessed. Be blessed. We all want to live under God's blessing, don't we? We want to live in the blessing of God. There is not a person on this planet that does not wish that. And Jesus, in his introduction to this great Sermon on the Mount, begins first and foremost by introducing what it means for a follower of Jesus to live in his blessing. And so we're going to continue this morning, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 3 and then down to verse 6. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Did you know, this is a test this morning, how many never thought you'd ever come to church and hear those words? A flash test. Did you know that according to the Heart and Stroke Association of Canada, that Canadians 2 years and above consumed last year an average of 1,825 calories per day? Measured in terms of dietary energy, 38.9% was from unprocessed or minimally processed foods, 6.3% from processed culinary ingredients, 6.5% from processed foods, and 48.3% from ultra-processed foods. Just think about that for a moment. Because it goes on. Furthermore, almost half the foods Canadians eat are highly processed products that are poor in nutrition and increase health risks, according to new research commissioned by a survey conducted by Heart and Stroke Canada in 2018. It even also goes on to give the sad news that children between the ages of 9 and 13 are between 57% are getting 57% of their calories from these foods high in sugar, fat, salt, and packed full of calories. God bless McDonald's and Dairy Queen. And Canadians are among the biggest consumers in the world. In fact, we are second only to the United States in this kind of consumption. Did you know that after church today, 44.49% of people in Sydney, in fact, Canadians across the country, will eat at some fast food restaurant? That's the number of people who eat out once a week on average. And here's the thing that bugs me. Here's what really, really, really bugs me. When I was reading this, I was drinking coffee and eating a muffin down at George's by the pier. I'm a statistic. And I won't tell you, but it has been more than once a week that I've been out drinking coffee. There is a familiar saying, and you know it, we are what we eat. And the fact is, eating fast food fills you up temporarily, but how many also know that within a very short time, you're hungry again. You want more. When I was younger, and some of you may remember this song by the singer Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones, he wrote a song that really, really typifies the philosophy of our generation. I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction because I try and I try and I try and I try. How many are singing that in your heads right now? No, don't raise your hands. And I'm going to pray for you, Ike. And the reason that song was so popular is simply because it really, really spoke to the fact that so many people were amassing so much stuff, eating so much stuff, collecting so much stuff, yet not having any kind of satisfaction. The sad part is that Mick Jagger just ended his song there. Because as followers of Jesus, we know that there is one that gives us full and complete satisfaction for now and for eternity. And yet I hear, even from Christians, my life is so empty. I've got so much, yet something seems to be missing. I'm bored with living. Is this all there is? Mother Teresa once said, people in India are physically hungry. People in America are spiritually hungry. And I would say that that's Canadians too. And that makes people in India better off because Americans and Canadians don't realize why they're starving. And there seems to be and continues to be in our society and culture this gnawing inside for contentment. And the false idea that people are getting from media and commercials and TV is that the more you get, the more content that you will have in life. And so people buy and they buy and they buy and they buy only to find out they can't get no satisfaction. I believe that we live in one of the most blessed countries on the planet. And in all of Canada, I think we live in the most blessed part of the country. There is more beauty here. There is more things to do here. We have greater health here. We have greater wealth here than anywhere else on the planet, or in this country, rather. And yet I talk to people almost every day who talk to me about, I'm just not getting it. They've got big boats over here in the harbor. They've got a condo here, a condo in Arizona, a condo in Europe, a condo wherever, and yet there still seems to be among people here in Sydney that sense of, is this all there is? And yet there is that continued drive to want to amass more and more and more and more and yet not having any satisfaction. God saw this happening in the lives of his people Israel. More than 700 years before Jesus was born, he spoke to the prophet Isaiah, and not only did he speak to it, his people in Judea, but he gives this message to both Jew and Gentile all at the same time because he was seeing people who were amassing so much and yet not having any kind of contentment. And so the Lord asks the question, inviting people, is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come buy your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest of food. In this fourth beatitude, Jesus continues his progression that builds to a blessed life. Jesus is speaking to a group of people along that mountainside who were all very much like you and I and the people that live in Sydney and Victoria and Calgary and in Toronto. People who are wanting a satisfied, contented life, but blind to what it really means to be content. And in this fourth beatitude, Jesus speaks to the very heart and need of where people were and are today. First of all, he speaks to the poor in spirit, that once we've recognized our need and acknowledged and turned from our sin, which means to mourn, and released our lives over to God's control, which is to be meek and humble, then and only then will we be ready to seek genuine and lasting satisfaction and contentment. At this point, now I just need to point out for us today that at the first three Beatitudes taught us our need for depending completely on God, that we have to empty ourselves in order for God to fill us. Then Jesus says, now that you're empty, here's how the starving can be satisfied. Here's how to be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be fully satisfied. And so understanding what Jesus is saying is so essential for us this morning. It's so contemporary. It's right where people are at today. And I need to move this back because I'm feeling I may be doing some moving around today. What does it mean to hunger and thirst? Well, let's just consider that question first of all. To begin with, we need to understand that Jesus was talking to people who understood what it meant to be truly hungry and thirsty. The word he uses for hunger means to ardently crave food. And it's the same word that he uses for thirst. He uses a strong word to describe thirsting, which means to painfully feel the need for water. You see, Jesus wasn't originally speaking to well-fed Canadians. He was talking to people who knew what it meant to go to bed hungry and famished. Not just craving for food, but a gnawing, gut-wrenching hunger. The hunger that Christ speaks of wasn't about a Big Mac attack. It meant being hungry to the point of starving and thirsty to being the point of being parched, almost dying. And so Jesus is trying to convey the thought that the quest for righteousness, satisfaction, and fulfillment is not some idle task, but it's to be our top priority. You see, few of us here know what it means to be without food for days on end, to long for the tiniest bit of water or nourishment. And that's the kind of hunger and thirst that Jesus is referring to. I remember when our kids were growing up, and the place where we lived outside of Kingston, if we wanted to travel, for example, west towards Belleville or into Toronto, we'd go up this one main road, and at the corner of that one main road and the highway was a McDonald's. And wouldn't it be amazing? Every time we drove up there, all three of our kids were sitting in the back of the car, listening to their music, watching a video on their little computers, and then all of a sudden they'd see those golden arches, and what we would hear is, "I'm starving. Can we stop? We're so hungry." And they had just had lunch. Now, there does come a point when they're about between the ages of 13 and 113 where they never stop eating. But you and I know as parents, and Sue and I knew, they weren't starving. They were not going to die no matter how much they moaned. And none of us have been in that place. And yet, that's the kind of hunger and thirst that Jesus is referring to. That if we truly want to be spiritually satisfied, if we truly want to be full of God and content with what he has, then we must be willing to give our all to him and so hunger and thirst as if our very lives depended on it. That's the kind of longing that Jesus is talking about here. That's the kind of longing that radically changes our perspective in life. In fact, I read a story this week which underlines this point. This story told about the sinking of the Titanic, and it related the tale of one wealthy woman who was about to get into a lifeboat. All of a sudden, she stops and she tells the attendant, "I need to go back to my cabin. I need to go back to my cabin." And the attendant, very surprised, says, "You've got 2 minutes." And as water is pouring in over that sinking vessel, she runs her way back through the waters that were knee deep and some places waist deep now, getting into her cabin, walking past all of the cash of money that was floating in the water, walking past priceless pieces of art, walking past jewelry that was she could see on the floor underneath the water. She walked right past that into her room to grab 3 oranges. You see, the reality of facing imminent death has a way of changing our perspective on things. And folk, if we are truly hungry for God, if we are truly desiring his fullness, if we are truly desiring to drink from the fountain of life this morning, then we need to come to him with a desperate hunger and thirst that says, "God, I need you, I want you, and nothing else matters." Notice the object of what our hunger and thirst is. The object that we're to desperately seek for is his righteousness. What is Jesus talking about here? What is this righteousness that he's speaking of? In the original language, there is a definite article that is translated "the." So Jesus is actually speaking of a specific righteousness here that we are to seek after. What is this righteousness? Well, we can define this in 2 ways. There are 2 meanings. The first definition for this word righteousness would mean right living or living rightly. Right living or living rightly. In the culture in which Jesus lived, this word was often used to describe a person who constantly fulfilled their duty to the secular gods and to others. It was a word of passion, a passion to do the right thing no matter what. In its simplest meaning, righteousness as Jesus is using it means absolute obedience. We are to hunger and thirst for our lives to be in line with God's design. It means right living and doing the right thing because God tells us to. But there's a second meaning that I believe is even more primary to this. And it's one that I think that truly fills our desperate need. This word that Jesus used here also has to do more with not just doing the right thing, but it emphasizes having a right relationship. We are to intensely long for a right relationship with God. Its root word is used by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5 when he speaks of justification. It means to justify. It means to recognize that God has justified us or has accepted us into a relationship with him because of who we are and what we've done. Absolutely not, but because of him. We are declared righteous because of Jesus' righteousness, not because of our own. It's by grace through faith in Jesus alone that we are saved, not by our own good works, but by his mercy. His grace and his righteousness. He loved us. He created us to belong to him. But sin has marred that relationship. It's divided us from his presence. So Jesus comes and he dies for us. He sheds his blood. And for every man and woman and boy and girl who trusts in him, the Bible says that they are declared to be children of God. He declares us righteousness, not based on who we are, what we've done, where we're from, but because of Jesus. And this is the heart of God. He loves us, and so we belong to him. And Jesus is saying to hunger and thirst, not just to do the right thing, but to live in right relationship with God. That's first and foremost. The next couple Beatitudes, he's going to talk about being in right relationship with other people. But Jesus is reminding his followers, and he reminds us here today, that as we seek to have right relationships with one another, it begins in having a right relationship with God himself. Are you hungering after him this morning? Are you desiring him passionately? Do you long passionately, desperately, intensely for a right relationship with Jesus? And flowing out of a right relationship is right living. And that becomes our commitment. It's not just a cold, obligatory commitment, but it's a result of a real and vibrant, vital relationship to Jesus. Do you love him this morning? Jesus is saying to us, if you want to be satisfied, if you want to be filled, then passionately, intensely, above anything else, hunger and thirst and long for and seek a right relationship with me. I read this story. In fact, several commentaries mentioned this, so I figured I'd share it as well. And it speaks to this point. In university, you probably heard the name Socrates, a great Greek philosopher who helped lay down the framework of how our Western world thinks and lives. And there is told the story of a young student who went to his great mentor, Socrates, and asked the question, "Master, how can I truly find truth?" The teacher asked the student to accompany him to the river, which ran by the village, and invited him to go into the water. When they got to the middle of the stream, the teacher said, "Please immerse yourself in the water." The student did as he was instructed, whereupon the teacher put his hands on the young man's head and held him under the water. Immediately, the student began to struggle, but the master continued to hold him under. The student was thrashing and beating the water and air with his arms, and still the master held him under the water. Finally, the student was released and shot up out of the water, his lungs aching and gasping for air. The teacher waited for a few moments and said, "When you desire truth to the same level you've just desired to breathe, then you will truly find truth." And here's the point that I find from this illustration that I believe Jesus is wanting to remind us of, that the same is true with our relationship with him. When you desire Jesus, when you desire the Father, when you desire the Holy Spirit to the same level you desire to breathe, then you will find him. The psalmist David expressed it with these words in Psalm 42, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God." So let me ask you, what are you longing for? What are you longing for? Let's be honest. If I asked you about what you long for, what you would want if you could have anything at all, what would it be? New car, a bigger home, better job, kids that behaved and didn't eat so much when they came to visit. What are you longing for? So that also begs the final question, how can I cultivate a hunger for God? How do I cultivate a hunger for God? How do I know when I'm truly hungering and thirsting for him? Notice Jesus doesn't say, "Blessed are those who always live right," but rather those who long rightly. Your relationship with him should be a growing one. The word that he uses here is interesting because it's not a once-in-a-lifetime shot, but it means to a continual hunger and thirst after him. You ought to be able to look back over 5 years and say, "I'm closer to him now than I was 5 years ago." So let me ask you, as I've had to often ask myself, Am I any different today than I was a year ago, 2 years ago, a week ago? And that's why I need to constantly hunger and thirst after him. The temptation would be to look in the mirror and say, I haven't changed at all. I might as well just give up and just whatever. No, what it means is this. When you and I are honest with ourselves, we can come to Father God and say, God, I've blown it. I need to still hunger after you. God, show me. Show me what there is in my life that I need to give to you so that you can give to me what I need. Let me give you three things quickly in closing. You want to hunger for God? Number one, recognize your real need. The first thing you need to do is recognize your real need. What is missing in my life? You see, God made us spiritual beings. We're made to be in his image. We're like him. We were created to love him and know him, and nothing else will fill the gap. Not people, possessions, prestige, nothing except knowing him. As Jesus said in John 7:37, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And there are many writers who suggest that when Jesus gave that word, he may have also been referring back to the scripture we read earlier in Isaiah chapter 55, that if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. What's your real need this morning? Jesus was speaking to a group of people that were steeped in religiosity and a religious system that said, as long as you do right, you will be right, hopefully. Because every time people would come, there would be others who would say, well, that's good, but it's not good enough. You need to do better. And so they would continue to go back home. Well, I need to get a bigger sacrifice. I need to get a cleaner sacrifice. I need to read these verses. I need to memorize this book. I need to do this and this and this and this. And so they would come and they would offer their sacrifice. And then they'd be told again, that's good, but it's not good enough. And so they'd go back home. And then Jesus comes along on that great festival day and he sees the people who are hungry, they're thirsty, they're seeking after religion. And he says to those who are seeking after false religion, if there is anyone who is hungry, let him come to me and drink. What's your need this morning? Are you hungering and thirsting? Where are you trying to fill yourself? You recognize your need, then stop eating where you shouldn't be. Number two, not only recognize your need, but start eating where you need to be. Stop filling yourself with junk food. Stop filling yourself with those things. And it may be, I'm not here to talk about, say, you shouldn't watch this TV show or read those books or to play in that sport, folk. I grew up in a church environment that said, you are a Christian by what you don't do. You're a Christian by where you don't go. You're a Christian by what you don't. But now listen, I thank God for my heritage. Because it truly taught me how important it was to live in holiness before the Lord. But I've also learned since then that God doesn't accept me because of where I don't go and what I don't do. He accepts me because of Jesus, period. And then he works all the other stuff out. Because here's the thing, folks. The more I'm filling myself with Jesus, the less room I have in my life for the stuff that doesn't matter. The less I have in my less hunger I have for the junk food. Why settle? Now, I know I'm going to step on toes here, but there is this new trend. It's called Beyond Meat. It's not Why? If I order a hamburger, I want a hamburger. If I want steak, I don't want brown-colored tofu. I want steak. Medium well. Thick and juicy. Put the fork in and it says moo. I want the real thing. And folk, when you fill your life with Jesus, when you fill him with praise, oh, folk, I can't emphasize enough. Fill your house with praise. Fill your car radio with praise. Fill your life with praise. When you're filling your life with praise in the word of God, folk, you're not going to want anything else because it ain't going to matter. It's junk food. We hunger after the real thing. And we start looking for Jesus for our satisfaction. Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. And when we do, listen to what Jesus promises. Jesus promises lasting satisfaction. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. And the word he uses here for filled means to be stuffed to the point of contentment where we just keep eating. And he says, let this not just be a one-time thing where you can't eat anymore, but that you will continue to feast on him. And he says, you'll continue to be filled. You'll continue to fill. You seek after me. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In other words, when we seek God first and are filled with him, we're not going to need to worry about what we don't have because we'll be content for eternity with what he's given us now. So let me be blunt in asking you. Most of us are about as close to God as we want to be. That's true. I'm not going to pull any punches. That's just a fact. We're close to God now as we ever want to be. We have about as much joy as we want, about as much peace as we want. And for the most part, you are where you are right now because that's where you want to be. If you are hungering and thirsting for something better than God, then you could have it. If you want it, you can have a closer walk with God. If you want to, you can grow spiritually. If you want to, you can have a better marriage. If you want to, you can become a man or woman of God. If you want to, you can change deeply ingrained habits. The question is, do you want to? That's the question. And many strive to be the right person, to do the right things, to eat the right food. But let me be clear this morning, finding and living in God's righteousness has nothing to do with what you and I do. It's all about what Jesus has done. And this brings me to my closing preaching point today. A life of satisfaction and contentment does not come from my doing, but from God's filling. Are you filled with him this morning? Do you need a refilling this morning? I'm going to invite the worship team to come back. Let's stand together. And we're going to sing this one last song. And some of you this morning, and you've been living in bondage. Jesus died to set you free. He died to give you freedom. As the worship team sings this morning, lift your hands in worship to him and receive the freedom that Jesus has died to give you this morning. He is your victor today. Hallelujah.